I'm sure, and praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm outnumbered, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, praise when I don't. Cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to pray. You rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. So praise the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Oh, I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
That is the perfect song to sing when you're having sound issues. Amen. Just keep praising the Lord, right? That's good to see all of you here this morning. Happy New Year, by the way. And sorry I wasn't here to tell you that last Sunday, but I'm excited to go into 2025 with you guys. And if you're a guest with us here today, just make yourself at home. You're among friends here at Grace Bible Fellowship. There's a place in the bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." You can fill that in and tear it off and put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you came through this morning, and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. And by the way, thank you for being nice to my friend Ron Horton last Sunday. Did y'all enjoy him? I've got an amazing bullpen for when I'm out. I've got the Horton brothers, Ron and Ken. I've got the Brandenburg brothers that you guys have heard Gary and Greg preach several times. And then I have my Uncle Mike that preaches for me sometimes. And just an amazing group of people. I'm leaving some of them out, but amazing group of people that the Lord has blessed me with that are friends and mentors in my life that come in and preach for me when I'm out. And so thankfully, Ron was available. Last Sunday, I got a sinus infection, and luckily he was available to take care of that for me. All right, let's take a few moments. I'm actually going to preach a sermon that's all about how to get the best out of 2025. So I'm going to ask you today to lean in a little closer. You may be, everything's perfect in your life right now. And if so, you don't need this sermon today, but you will need it. Maybe tomorrow. You never know, right? So I'm going to go over some things. We're going to talk about Joseph. That dude is my hero. When you really study and you really read over it and over it and over it, and you get down to what that dude went through and how he overcame it, it is miraculous. It is miraculous. And we're going to see how he did that. And we're going to talk about how you can take this new year, 2025, and make it the best year you've ever had, regardless of your circumstances. And you and I, every one of us, is going to go through something that's not fun. Amen? Something that's hurtful, painful, whatever, right? We all do it. If you haven't been there yet, you're just not old enough to know any better, right? We all go through it. But we're going to talk about how to get the best out of 2025. And so I'm really excited that you're with us this morning. Before we go any further and let Kessie continue to lead us in praising the Lord with or without sound, amen, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for being able to start the new year with such a precious church family. All these people that I love, that I'm so proud of, so proud to be a part of. And Lord, today we want to get our minds and our hearts focused on you. You have a word for us today from the book of Genesis, and we want to get our minds and our hearts focused on you. And Father, in a moment when we continue singing, I pray that we would think about every word we're singing, and that we would mean it, and lift those words back up as a praise offering to you, not just be mindlessly singing songs that we've known for a long time. And so, Father, we pray that today we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for your word, which is the absolute truth that we're going to get into here in a little bit. But today, Lord, I pray that we would be able to take whatever's going on in our lives, the good, the bad, the busy, the ugly, whatever it is, lay it all at your feet for 1 hour, just let you be God for 1 hour. Put our faith in you for 1 hour. Trust you to handle life for us while we just worship you. And our prayer this morning is that we would be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Against me.
Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you.
Saved him, and he's talking about how he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and he answered him, and he delivered him. And he goes on to say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And Lord, and that's our invitation, right? Is for you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. All those other things that we chase after, they may satisfy for a moment, but they will not satisfy long term. It's a trick, it's a trap that Satan has used from the very, very beginning. Look at this, it's so pretty and it'll satisfy you for this moment. But it's not long lasting. And so he invites you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, come and magnify the Lord with me. Glorify the Lord with me. Trust in him. And so that's the challenge, is that we would trust in him in this new year, that we would lay everything at his feet, that we would acknowledge that we can't do it. Good night. I'm 45. I've tried so many different ways to do things on my own, and I've failed every single time, and I know the truth. And so my challenge to myself is stop going back to being crazy and trying to do things on my own. Just trust in the Lord. Acknowledge that he is the one. Remember what I tasted and saw that the Lord was good, and then go after him and chase after him and follow him, and he's going to take care of the rest.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth fan in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on
trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission and all is at rest. And I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yeah, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust in, that's why I trust in. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust in, that's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yeah, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yeah, I trust in God. Every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Savior, I come to thee. Father God, that's our prayer. As we enter into this new year, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize our need for you. Lord, despite our circumstances, despite what's going on around us, Lord, that we would acknowledge that we need you in the good times and the bad times, in every aspect of our life, Lord, we need you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to look within ourselves, Lord, and find those things that are contrary to your word, Lord, and help us to weed those things out. Lord, help us as we read scripture to understand the scriptures that we read and know how it is to apply to our lives and how it is to change us. Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, I ask now that you'd be with Chris as he comes to bring your word, Lord, that you would speak through him. Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for what you want us to hear this morning. And Lord, that we would not just be sitting here hearing words, Lord, but that we would be changed by what your word does in our lives. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us, and we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kissy. Now, I think tomorrow is Undecorate the Church Day. And that's kind of a drag for me because we leave our stuff at home up till Valentine's. And then we take it home. We take it down at Valentine's because I just love all these Christmas decorations. I just think it's so cool to have the house decorated for Christmas. And but this Valentine's is our 15-year anniversary. This church began on Valentine's Day in 2010. So this Valentine's, is that right? Yeah, it'll be our 15-year anniversary. And we're planning on, I'll give you more information about this later, but we're planning on having a groundbreaking ceremony after the service out at the new land where we're working on building the new building. And so you kind of want, maybe kind of want to put that on your calendar for now, and we'll give you more information as we get closer to that. We're going to be in Genesis 37 and 39. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, mark your place, and we're going to do 37 first, and then we're going to be in Genesis 39, I think, if I remember right. I got it all in your notes, so you should be good to go, I believe, if you have notes this morning. But again, today we're going to look at how you can get the best out of 2025, and we're going to look at the life of a great leader named Joseph. But Joseph had to learn to lead because he grew up, he was raised in a very dysfunctional family. And he also had some character flaws of his own that led to some of the hardships that he went through in life. But in Joseph, we see a young man who was willing to learn. He was willing to learn from his mistakes, and he was willing to learn from God. And even though he made some mistakes, the Lord protected him. We're going to see this. The Lord protected him, the Lord blessed him, and the Lord used him in some amazing ways. Bottom line, God honors a lifetime of faithfulness. If you've been faithful over the long haul, even through difficult times, God's going to show up in your life in a big way. He honors faithfulness over a lifetime. But before we go any further, I want to explain something very important to you. Many people think that God saves us just so we can go to heaven one day. But God actually has an amazing plan for your life right now. He has a great plan for your life right now. So keep trusting him and stay obedient to him, and I promise you one day he's going to show up in a way that you never could have imagined. And he's going to protect you along the way. He's going to bless you, and he's going to use you for his kingdom purposes in ways that you could have never dreamed of or imagined. So here's what I want you to think about today. Keep trusting him and stay obedient to him one day at a time. Let's break that down further. Keep trusting him like we just sang about, and keep obeying him one decision at a time. And as you pile up decisions, that's faithfulness. Obey him one decision at a time, and someday he'll do something in your life you never could have dreamed of or imagined. Let me give you a definition for faithfulness that I don't believe I have in your notes. Faithfulness is obeying God one decision at a time over the long haul. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness is making the decisions that God would have you make one decision at a time, day after day, over the long haul. That's faithfulness in the Bible. And you don't start over tomorrow. Tomorrow, you wake up and you keep adding one obedient decision after another. And the Bible calls that cultivating faithfulness. The Lord says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." But the ultimate reason, according to Scripture, the ultimate reason that God saved you is so you could enjoy a personal relationship with you, with him. He wants you to know him intimately, Jesus said. He wants you to learn to love him, and he wants you to learn to experience the love that he has for you. And like we just sang about, he wants you to learn to trust him. He wants you to learn to live in obedience to him, because he is your hope and your future. He is life, the Bible says. And he is your hope, and he is your future. Now, don't miss what I'm about to say to you. It's through the relationship with God that you experience his love. It's through the personal relationship with God, just like it would be for you to experience the love of anyone else you know. You only experience the love of another person through a personal relationship with that person. So it's through, actually, it's only through the relate. It's not just believing stuff about God. That's never going to get you home, biblically speaking. It's only through you having a personal, intimate relationship with God that you experience his love, his peace, his joy, and his plan for your life. But far too many people don't have time for the relationship. They just want to go do stuff for God. Or, better yet, have God do a bunch of stuff for them. But they don't have time to spend time with God and build a relationship with God. And they fail to realize something that's absolutely critical. When you bypass the relationship, you're bypassing God's will and God's plan for your life. That's the number one priority, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And Jesus teaches us that once we decide to quit focusing on ourselves and our plans and our agenda, and we decide to focus on God and his agenda, then God will go to work in our lives, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you worry about, that's the context of Matthew 6. All these things that you're fretting over, all these things you're worried about, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He already knows what you need. And all these things will be added to you, Jesus says. In fact, the Bible teaches that God will even take the bad and use it for your good if you love him and live for him and his purposes. And God's purpose is to, the Bible says in Romans 8:29, transform us into the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. Put another way, God wants us to learn to love like Jesus loved. God wants us to learn to forgive like Jesus forgave. God wants us to learn to trust him like Jesus trusted him, to the point that Jesus obeyed God in every decision throughout his lifetime. Look at Romans 8, 28 and 29 in your notes. And we know, those of us who are true followers of Christ, those of us who have the relationship, not just those of us who acknowledge some things, but those of us that have the relationship with God, we've been reborn spiritually, John chapter 3. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's the promise. And here's the conditions. To those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. And so it's very important to understand that God has a great plan for your life, but if you bypass the relationship, you automatically bypass his plan. Because without the relationship, you'll never learn to hear him. Without the relationship, you'll never learn to understand his heart. Without the relationship, you will not follow the Lord's will for your life. You will follow your own. But Joseph, in spite of his dysfunctional family and in spite of his past mistakes, learned to trust and obey God. And today we're going to focus on three things that led Joseph to great success. Even though he made some huge mistakes and suffered some terrible injustices in his lifetime. So we're going to look at three things to getting the best out of 2025. Three things to becoming an overcomer, if you will, in 2025. That's how you learn to live the life that Christ wants you to live, is by putting your faith in the point to him that you realize in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, he has overcome the world. And when you're walking with him, guess what? You become an overcomer, just like we're going to look at what Joseph did. It's amazing how this dude trusted God, and he went through some stuff that I can probably most specifically say you and I've never gone through. Three keys to getting the best out of 2025. Number one, Joseph refused to allow his past mistakes or the opinions of others to determine his future. Joseph refused to allow his past mistakes or the opinions of other people to determine his future. Joseph was sold out to one opinion, and it was the opinion of his heavenly father. He was sold out to God's opinion. And so as a young man, Joseph, again, he was extremely arrogant. He was extremely selfish, and his brothers hated him for it. Look at Genesis 37, beginning with verse 1. Now Jacob, Joseph's father, lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. And Joseph, the youngest of 12, he had 11 older brothers. Joseph, the youngest of 12, when he was 17 years of age, was pastoring the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth. And Joseph brought back a bad report about his older brothers to their father. Strike one. Little brother's a tattletale, right? Verse 3. Now Israel, you remember, Jacob, was called Jacob in the beginning, which means deceiver. God changed his name to Israel, which means overcomer. Okay? So it's talking about the same guy here. It does the same thing in Psalms, over and over. You see it in Psalms. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his other sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a multicolored tunic. Strike two. Little brother is daddy's favorite. First he's a tattletale, now he's daddy's favorite. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, We were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brother said to him, are you actually thinking you're going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Strike three. The dude was spoiled, and he was arrogant about it. He was spoiled, and he was arrogant. Verse 9. Now Joseph had still another dream, and he hadn't learned his lesson. So he went and told his brothers and said, hey, I've had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon, meaning dad and mom, and the 11 stars, meaning you guys, were bowing down to me. And he related it to his father and to his mother, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves down before you to the ground? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. Now, needless to say, Joseph had a few things to learn about relationships. Amen. He showed incredible arrogance, and he showed a lack of respect for his brothers and his parents. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never met a man, and I'm speaking for men because I'm a man. My guess is it's the same for ladies. But I've never met a man that likes to be shown disrespect. Never. Never met even a little boy that wants to be shown disrespect. Nor have I ever met parents, right or wrong, at that moment, that like to be shown disrespect. But that's what Joseph did. But, I mean, at this point in his life, it's all about him, right? He's a young man. It's all about him. But the Lord's about to teach this young man a few lessons in humility. And his brothers, who greatly resented the arrogant tattletale and the multicolored coat, sold him into slavery. And man, I think about that. I used to feel bad about how I treated my younger brother, but not anymore. I mean, that's crazy, right? They sold him into slavery, but Joseph went on to learn from his mistakes, and he decided that it was the Lord he was living for. And that was the game changer. That was the game changer for him. And after he had committed these sins of arrogance and selfishness, he refused to live the rest of his life, allowing the sins of his past and the opinions of others to determine his future. Amen. He put his life in God's hands. He decided he was going to trust the Lord once and for all. My boys, and I've loved the story of Joseph. I've read it a million times. And so my boys used to have a sign in their bathroom that read, remember, it is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Never let your mistakes determine who you are. And never let the opinions of others determine who you become or what you achieve in this life. If you do, you will sit on the sidelines all of your life. Instead, live for God. Live for God, and remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Which leads us to point number two. Point number one, Joseph refused to allow his past mistakes or the opinions of others to determine his future. And then number two, Joseph refused to allow his family issues to become his future issues. Now, we all have family issues, amen? But Joseph learned from his, and therefore, because he learned from them, they didn't become his future issues. And so later, when you see Joseph in Scripture, after he's been sold into slavery by his own brothers, you see a man of integrity. You see a man of great strength. You see a man of incredible dignity, and you see a man of godliness. Why? Joseph decided he was going to learn to trust God. He decided he was going to live for God. And so he learned to trust God in everything in life. And he decided to make one God-honoring decision at a time, one God-honoring decision after another, and in doing so, he was cultivating faithfulness over the long haul. He didn't let other people get to him. And in trusting God, he was growing faithfulness, cultivating faithfulness over the whole long haul. In Psalm 37, 1 through 4 in your notes, this was Joseph to a T. The Bible says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. In other words, don't become envy because they seem like they have it better than you and give up following the God, the Lord, and start following them. Don't do that. They're wrongdoers, and they will wither quickly like the grass, and they will fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, whatever land you're in, whatever land God has you in right now, dwell in this land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, Joseph grew up in a family of liars and manipulators. And quite honestly, if anybody had an excuse to throw in the towel, it was Joseph. If anybody had an excuse to turn out wrong, it was Joseph. If anybody had an excuse to allow the past to control his future, it was Joseph. And we haven't even mentioned the wrongs done to him in Egypt yet. But the Lord was teaching him about lying. And the Lord was teaching him about cheating. And the Lord was teaching him about deception. We live in a world where people don't think those things are that big a deal. But the Lord was teaching Joseph lying, cheating, and deceiving and conniving, it's a big deal. And so he was learning firsthand what it feels like to be on the receiving end of people that live their lives this way. But the Lord would use all of it, plus all of the rejection that he went through, to teach Joseph what it means to trust in God first and foremost. You see, it was through all the, and listen to me closely because you've been here, it was through all the painful rejection and the painful separation from his family, from his friends, that Joseph learned to trust in the Lord his God. And the Lord began to bless him and give him success. We talk about this all the time. The Lord always rewards and blesses faithfulness. One of my life verses is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely committed to him. Now look at Genesis 39 in your notes. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. In other words, his brothers sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites then took him to Egypt. He'd been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And then verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Circle that. Draw a square around it. The Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph remembered this. And this was the game changer for him. The Lord was with Joseph, the Bible says, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. And so Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer of his house so that all that he owned was put in Joseph's charge. Now maybe you're here today and like Joseph, you've experienced rejection. We all do at some point. Maybe you've been rejected by your family in some way, one way or another. Maybe you've been rejected by your friends for believing in Christ. Maybe you've been rejected by your boss. Maybe you've been rejected by somebody else that's important in your life. So the big question for each of us this morning is, how will we handle it? Will we get stuck being angry with that person? Will we get stuck feeling sorry for ourselves? Will we get stuck and hold back our love for now on? Or will we allow God to use it for our good and His glory? Will we allow Him to mature us and use us for His purposes? And will we choose to remember that no matter what comes our way, the Bible says, if you're a Christ follower, the Lord is with you. Don't miss that little phrase in verse 2 and verse 3. The Lord was with Joseph. Now again, Joseph had a terrible upbringing, but the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph's brothers hated him, but the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph suffered some huge setbacks in his life, but the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. The fact that the Lord was with Joseph is what kept him moving forward in this life, in spite of all the pain, all the rejection. And you and I are going through this fast, and so it's like going, right? When you stop and you study what this dude went through, the fact that the Lord was with Joseph is what kept him moving forward in spite of all the pain, all the rejection, all the unfairness in his life. But you can't bypass the presence of God and expect to experience the power of God. You can't bypass the presence of God and expect to experience the protection of God. You can't bypass the relationship and expect to experience His peace in your life. In fact, the Jews called Him Yahweh or Jehovah, which indicated that He was the relational God. And the name Jesus, that God told Mary to name her baby boy, literally means Yahweh saves. The relational God that saves. But the point is this, regardless of your past, if you have a love relationship with God in your present, you can have a great future because God has a great plan for your life. But you have to take some steps to make that happen, okay? You must take action to develop a love relationship with Jesus Christ. You must learn to pray, to talk to God, and read the Bible, and make your time with God a priority. And I invite you to come to me. I can tell you how to do all that. I do it every day. Been doing it for years. Every morning, I get up 4, 5 a.m. at the latest and spend several hours with the Lord every morning. And I can teach you, if you've never done it in your life and you're just getting started, I can show you how to make that happen in your life and start developing a love relationship, an intimate love relationship with God. But at some point, you have to decide that that's going to be the priority. So you can get to know the heart of God and you can understand His purpose and His will for your life. And you have to begin obeying God's word. We find all kinds of reasons and excuses not to obey God's word and to do our own thing. But at some point in your life, you have to decide, you know, God's word is the truth. It's the absolute truth about all of life. So I'm going to start obeying it one decision at a time. And I'm going to start cultivating faithfulness. Point number 3. Number 1, Joseph refused to allow his past mistakes or the opinions of others to determine his future. Number 2, Joseph refused to allow his family issues to become his future issues. And number 3, Joseph refused to make excuses for not obeying God. See, many times when we've been wrong, we give ourselves permission to do wrong back, but you don't see that in Joseph. Joseph was committed to righteousness. He was committed to doing right, doing it God's way, according to God's word. And it led him to become a man of strength, stability, and fruitfulness, Psalm chapter 1. And Joseph had learned that the way to overcome evil was by doing good, Romans 12, 21. Now look at verses 39, or chapter 39, verses 6 and 7. So his master left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And even though, this is amazing, listen to this, even though Joseph had the worst possible examples growing up, he never made any excuses for not obeying God's word. His dad, several wives, but only really loved one of them. His brothers slept with women in their own family. And most of the people in his family were deceivers. They were connivers, they were liars, and they were deceivers. But Joseph was committed to obeying God's word. Look at Joseph's reply to his master's wife in Genesis 39, 8 through 9. But he refused. And he said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house." You know what? Every master wants that dude. Every boss wants that guy. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine in Oklahoma the other day, and he said, I want to hire your son Ryan to be the college minister of the church. And he said, one of the reasons I want to hire Ryan is because when I hire Ryan, I can turn around and walk away. And I know he's going to do an amazing job. And so I'm going to hire Ryan, and he did. Ryan's working there now as the college minister at that church. But even though Joseph had these really bad examples growing up, he never made any excuses for not obeying God. So he refused. And he said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in this house. And he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I am. And he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against him?" Amen? And in verses 10 through 20, Potiphar returns. And his wife starts covering her tracks, and she knows she better get to her husband before Joseph does. So she fabricates a story about how Joseph tried to take advantage of her. And who do you think Potiphar believes? He believes his wife. And he throws Joseph in prison. Now you may be thinking at this point, and it would be natural to think then, man, what's the use? Poor guy. I mean, he's turned his whole life around. He's been serving God for years the best he knows how, and this is what he gets? Why keep trying? Why keep trusting God? Is it really worth it? I mean, we're talking about years of service down the drain. Yes, from a human perspective, but not from God's perspective. In God's perspective, this is just one, listen to this. Many of us make huge mistakes in life because we don't continue trusting God and realize what's right around the corner. What God has for us right around the corner. And so we take matters into our own hands and we make huge mistakes. But from God's perspective, there's just one more step to get Joseph to the top of the ladder in all of Egypt, not just Potiphar's house, but all of Egypt. And Joseph had already learned something very important about life and about God. Regardless of my circumstances, the Lord is always with me. Regardless of my circumstances, the Lord is always with me. Look at verses 20 through 21. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail. the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Now, here's a very, very important lesson that we all need to remember. When you're living for God, what you think is the bottom of the barrel may just be the next step to the top in God's kingdom agenda. Joseph had learned that moving forward with God requires some suffering. Why? Because sometimes that's what it takes for God to get our attention. Amen? Has God ever had to get your attention that way? Man, he's gotten my attention. I mean, God can whisper in my ear for a year, but give me some good suffering and boom, I'm ready to listen. You know what I mean? So right there in prison, Joseph, listen to this, this is crazy. He got busy again serving the Lord. He got busy again right there in jail cultivating faithfulness. And Joseph was committed to moving forward, and he knew nothing could kill that faster than bitterness over what had happened to him in the past. And eventually God would give Joseph favor with Pharaoh, and he would go from the dungeon to being known as the deliverer. Joseph would make him, Pharaoh would make him second in command of all of Egypt, and the Lord would use Joseph to deliver his family and the entire nation of Israel from starvation because he allowed God to handle the people who had done him wrong. The Bible says in Romans 12, verses 19 through 21, in fact, it's really 14 through 21, but I'm just going to read 19 through 21 today. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do good, right? If your enemy's hungry, do good. If your enemy's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. Can you imagine what would happen in marriages if we did that? Can you imagine what would happen in marriages if we determined to do good no matter what our spouse did or didn't do for us? If we determined we were going to obey God regardless of our circumstances, and regardless if everybody else is making us happy or not, we're just going to obey God. Do not be overcome by evil, the Bible says. There's only one way to do that, and that's to overcome evil with good. And so Joseph learned to wait on the Lord, and he refused to take matters into his own hands. And he refused, again, Psalm 37, to fret over the deeds that had been done to him. Instead, he waited patiently for the Lord. He continued to believe and trust that the Lord was with him. And he continued to serve the Lord wherever life took him. And he learned to cultivate faithfulness one decision at a time. One act of obedience, regardless of what anybody else says or done or does, at a time. And the result, the Lord was with him and gave him favor with everyone around him. God even, if you read on, reconciled him to his brothers and gave him authority over all of his family and all of the nation of Israel. And he was second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. That's amazing. That's amazing. And God wants to do a miracle in your life if you'll learn to trust and obey. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Now, you may be here today and you feel like your life has been turned upside down by your circumstances. Or maybe you feel your life has been turned upside down by the way people have mistreated you. If that's you, God's message to you this morning is this: trust me with all that stuff. I've already forgiven all your sins, so accept my forgiveness and move on. Start living for me so you don't have to stay enslaved to the opinions of others. Refuse to blame your past for where you're at in life, and refuse to blame others for where you're at in life, and learn to love me. Learn to know me. Begin to trust me. Step out in faith and begin to obey me. Cultivate faithfulness in your life and see what I will do. See how I will show up in your life. And maybe you're here today and you've never had that intimate love relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. If so, you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this. And these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. God, I need to begin a love relationship with you by putting my faith in your only Son and your only Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus is God in the flesh who came to earth to die on the cross to save me from my sins so that I could be born again spiritually and become a child of God. I also believe that Jesus rose from the dead, defeating sin and death once and for all, the Bible says, for those who believe in him and receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. So today, Lord Jesus, I believe in you, and I receive you as my own personal Lord and Savior. Help me to learn to move forward in this relationship with you, so that I can learn to follow you and learn to understand the plan that you have for my life. Or maybe you're already a Christian, but you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this morning. Lord, help me to learn to be fully committed to you like Joseph was. Help me to learn to let go. Let go of the bitterness and let go of the resentment that's holding me back. Because it is holding me back. Help me to begin to see that you are with me and that you have a great plan for my life. Help me to accept the times of growth that you send my way, trusting in you. And help me to just keep serving you and living for you no matter what comes my way. I want to keep moving forward with you, just like Joseph did. And with your help, I'm ready for a new spiritual journey in 2025. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Kessie, you lead us in our closing song, please, ma'am.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to him. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall but through Christ in me. No fate I tread, I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. And when the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And when the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you, ma'am. You guys be seated for a moment. I need to share a few announcements with you. I need to repent of how I treated Siri yesterday in the truck. After that sermon, my wife just sits over there in the passenger seat like this. And I know she's laughing at me. You know what I mean? She's riding shotgun in Old Red with me, and she's laughing at me while we're driving down the highway. But that woman corrects me all the time. It doesn't matter what I say to Siri, she corrects me. So, Lord, please forgive me. We're starting up our journey groups today for those of you who are meeting on the first Sunday of the month and then next Sunday. And then tomorrow we'll undecorate the church for Christmas. Thank you all for helping us decorate. And tomorrow, see Andrea if you want to help with that. And then it's 4 to 6. And then Wednesday night Bible studies resume this Wednesday night, January 8th. And then if you're interested in GBF 101, that's a class that I teach. If you want to know what it means to be a member here, you want to know what our purpose is, what our structure is, what we believe, that class is for you. It's from 4:30 to 7:30 on the 19th. And I've got a little sign-up sheet over there, a little makeshift one, because I forgot to print one out on the computer. But I've got one over there. And then the other thing is this. We're fixing to go through this Wednesday night Bible study starting on February 12th. And what's the name? Learning to Trust. The Challenge to Trust on the Path to Peace. It's a 50-day devotional by Cindy Janeka. And every time I've given it out, people bring it back and go, man, that's amazing. And so I thought, you know what, why not just all of us go through it? And so we're going to meet together on the 12th. All the men and women in here, Cindy's going to help me kick that off. She's going to come and help me kick that off, the author of the book. Then after that, now each of you, you'll need a book. And I've got a sign-up sheet over there, and I apologize. I don't know why I wasn't here. But the sign-up sheet I had over there got misplaced somehow. So thankfully, Kim Vincent made a makeshift one for me last Sunday, and some of y'all got signed up, but You might, well, here, let me just tell you. So these are the people that are signed up. You'll know if your name didn't get on here when you first signed up. Kim and Al Vincent, Kenny Prescott, Adam Green, Cindy Zant, Harold Gervais, Pam Gervais, Oscar, Lydia, Catherine Marlowe, Jill Hostetler, Sonny Browell, Sharon Woody, John Woody, Stuart and Sharon. So if you didn't hear your name, go sign up over there. Again, I apologize. I don't know what happened. It just disappeared while I was out. But you're going to need one of these books, and I'm getting them at a discount at only $20 each. And so this is just an amazing study. I can't wait. But after we meet together the first time, then we'll go back to the men meeting across the street upstairs. And by the way, if you can't do stairs, there is an elevator, okay? I take it every now and then just for the heck of it. But there is an elevator over there that'll take you up to the second floor. And then the women will meet in here. After that first meeting, the women will meet in here. But we're all doing the same study at the same time. It's a 14-week study, okay? And I'm really excited about doing that. So if you want to be part of that, that starts on February 12th, go ahead and sign up over there by that little white table. All right, I think that's all I needed. Oh, and you can sign up for GBF 101 over there as well. I think that's all I needed to tell you guys. And both those sign-up sheets are over there by Steve. Steve, wave at everybody. Thank you, sir. They're at that little white table behind Steve. I love that dude. He's awesome. All right. Yeah, y'all wave at him. All right. I love you guys. Thanks for being here. Happy New Year. Quit waving at Steve. Let me have control again for a minute. Happy New Year. Y'all stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we just, I can't thank you enough. Every time somebody comes here and preaches for me, I get a text message that day about how much they loved being here at this church with these people. And thank you for Ron being able to come and pinch hit for me last Sunday. And Lord, we just pray for your greatest blessings in 2025. It's been almost now 15 years of fun and fellowship and just blessing. Seeing people come to know Christ, follow him in baptism, learn to live for him, all those different things. And we just thank you for the great privilege of being part of being able to build your kingdom and live for your glory. I pray for all of these that are here today, all that are watching online, and all that can't be here that are part of our family, that you bless them as only you can. Be a light to them in the coming year and help each of us learn to follow you like never before. Help us learn to live for you like Joseph did. In Jesus' name, amen.